everybody, and welcome to the DestroParadas.com anime podcast. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Audible.com. With over 100,000 audiobooks, including some New York Times bestsellers, Audible is your one-stop shop for all your audio electronic literature needs. Go to audibletrial.com/deathsdoorprods to sign up for a free 14-day trial and to get yourself a free audiobook. That is audibletrial.com/deathsdoorprods. And while we do not have books, we do have shirts. So go to deathsdoorprods.com/store, get some shirts, get a hoodie, get some sleeve stuffs, and help support the site. I cannot talk tonight.
You're just on top form. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Webby nominated podcast. Yes. Or if you just want to give us money and don't want to buy anything, they go to deathdoorprods.com/indiegogo. That is IndieGogo. Donate some money, you'll be able to make us do really stupid shit, you'll be able to make us watch really stupid shit. Or if you don't want to donate any money, just help spread the word. Like, post on Twitter, post on Facebook. If you use Google Plus for some ungodly reason, post on there too. Just help us spread the word. We already gotten a few new peoples, but they aren't doing anything, so we want to get people who actually do stuff and interact with us and shit. So yeah, help with that, please. I'm your host, The Dead Man. Joining me today, as always, we have Bovywan.
Brovy is locked in an outhouse 3 miles away.
Outstanding. And we have Pudgetron.
Hello. I don't have able alternate personality locked anywhere.
Yet. It's only a matter of time before one emerges.
Probably. Or one that comes up that I've repressed or something.
Yeah. Just one day where they'll just scream fuck, and then come up with like an English accent or something.
I thought his nemesis was Scrawny Bot.
Oh, great. Okay, it's fine. Let's go with Scrawny Bot. I don't know. Maybe we're here to talk about some anime and manga. So I guess first up, the big three. So Naruto, Sasuke and Itachi versus Orochi Kabuto.
Ah, pretty that much. Asshole.
Yeah, that fucking guy. And something I didn't know, apparently Karin is related to Naruto.
She's an Uzumaki.
I guess because of the red hair, they're the only ones who really have that hair.
I haven't watched any of the anime, so I've been seeing it all in black and white, and her hair just looks black to me.
Ah, right. Well, if you looked at some of the cover art or officially released colorized images...
That is actually literally the logic they present.
It's
their red hair.
Yeah, if you have red hair, then you're an Uzumaki. But Naruto's blonde, shut up.
It's the same with Nagato. He's apparently related to Naruto because he had red hair. He was not Uzumaki. He was Uzumaki Nagato, I think.
He was in the small little background images they showed of people. It was his mom, Karin, and Nagato.
Yeah, I was wondering who that guy was, because he looked sickly, but not sickly enough to be Nagato.
He's a pre-broadcast machine Nagato. Yeah.
Pre-pain.
Pretty much, yeah.
So Naruto's family, you know, they've got a really good track record going for them.
Yeah, everyone's either dead or evil. Or both.
Or Karin.
Yeah, who's...
I know it's supposed to be Karin, but...
Karin.
Karin.
What happened to her? Like, she saw Naruto, got scared, and then I haven't seen her again.
She's in prison in the Leaf Village, I think. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
And how long do you think it'll be before we go back there?
Never. The series will end first. It'll briefly mention her.
Yeah, just like a giant, just like Susanoo versus a Rasengan, and then just end. But yeah, speaking of Susanoo, there's a lot of Susanoo now.
Well, two.
Well, three, because Madara, Itachi,
Madara,
Sasuke.
But he wasn't in the past couple weeks, really.
Sasuke already really overuses it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, he's like, I'm so awesome. It's like, that's all you fucking use. We saw your brother use it like once.
Yeah, he didn't need to use it. Besides, I want to see what his new eye shit is. Because we haven't really seen any of that. Like, he's like, hey, I got Susanoo, but then, yeah, so does everyone. What else you got? Like,
yeah, so do all the rest of the living Uchihas.
Yeah, like, Kakashi.
Wait a minute, there's only, like, three of you.
Yeah, like, Kakashi had the fucking dimension thing. Itachi had the Tsukuyomi. What the hell does Sasuke have?
Nothing, he just sucks.
He was like, my eyes just look like those stereogram things.
Well, they're all stages of the same techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like
the Mangekyo, and then it goes Tsukiyomi, and then the like Amaterasu, I think, is the next one up, and then
no, Amaterasu is just it's Itachi's specific technique, and it's like part of his Mangekyo, I think.
Yeah,
I might be wrong here.
Yeah, Sasuke was able to use it before he transplanted the eyes.
Yeah. Anyways, like, it is true what you say. Everyone else, when they get the Mangekyo, it's, they kind of have their own unique technique once they have it.
Yeah, like that, one guy, his name escapes me, had, like, his eye had the ability to, like, influence other people's thoughts. And it was, transplanted into the guy, it was transplanted into that jackass from Root, and he started using that to, like, try to get control of the whole Ninja Council thing.
Yeah, So yeah, it is funny that Sasuke's just kind of been, like, using other people's techniques that have been given to him.
Yeah, it's just some fucking bullshit, man.
From judging from his eyes, he has the power of Newtonian physics.
Yeah, it's like icy electrons.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know who he is? He's that five-year-old who plays Street Fighter and just, like, spams the same move over and over.
Oh, that cunt. I actually fought a guy like that in Street Fighter. He was playing ball, and he just kept jumping over me, then punching me, low, high, then jumping over again, just doing the whole arch thing. It was just fucking... That guy's a dick.
That's Sasuke. Except he's more emo.
Yeah, as soon as he does, he just sends through, like, the game chat. Just sends you a message, like this one was a hall of victory that ultimately means nothing in my entire life. Yeah, I guess it's Naruto. Sasuke. Yeah, Susanoo is everywhere, and Sasuke's a bitch. So, on to Bleach. So, there's been some stuff going on. Nell's back. So, that's awesome. I love Nell.
Okay, now I might start reading again. Yeah, over the past couple of weeks, I've just not been able to get myself to read it. I've just been... Like I said last time, like, my interest in it sort of dropped for a bit. And I just haven't had the motivation to read it, but now that you say that Nell's back...
Oh, yeah, dude, Hwakamundo is fucked.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's now, yeah, it's, like, been taken over by the... Ironheart Quincy things. And they got a new boss who's, like, a hippie, but he's a jackass. Like, this one guy shows up, he starts saying a plan and stuff, and the guy just blows off half his body. You know, just because...
He looks suspiciously like Zangetsu.
Yeah, a little bit. That's weird.
With, like, a handlebar mustache.
Yeah, it's like, what if Zangetsu grew out of his facial hair?
And bulked up a bit.
Well, we don't really know how bulky he is. He's always under that bloody cloak.
Yeah, but so is this guy, but he's bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe this is Zangetsu's older brother.
Maybe. Yes, the older brother of a sword. He just fucked an anvil, and Zangetsu was born.
So that would be his dad. If
shut know, up, my logic works.
If you have sex with something and it gives birth to a child, that doesn't make that child your brother.
Genealogy.
You know, maybe if you're in London, then it does. But
yeah, okay. Yeah. Their father fucked an anvil, and Zangetsu was born.
And then this guy.
That was when. Their father fucked a hollow. They're half-brothers.
Well, you never know, dude. I mean, these swords are alive. They have spears in them. So far, you know, Zanpakutos are just swords that had like, dead things put inside them.
And actually,
Ichigo's... Game swords.
Ichigo's kind of appeared out of nowhere at the beginning of the anime. It didn't really get crafted.
Yeah.
Well, they're mortal. I think it's something along the lines of that the sword chooses you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think if you become it, once you gain your quote-unquote Shinigami power, I think it comes with a Zanpakuto.
And maybe there's just like a bunch of swords on reserve, and then as soon as someone turns, it's like, maybe I'll go with this fucker, and just... Bzz.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they all have personalities and everything. It's just a matter of unlocking them and stuff. So they go, hey, that guy's the one who's supposed to be my partner. And now he can actually use me. I'm going to... Woo! Just up the noise they make.
It just comes out like, hey, guy! I'm your sword!
Pretty much.
So yeah, that's Bleach. Quick Moon does fuck. And Nella's back, so things have gotten better.
Yeah.
Have they gotten a little more fan service?
Not really, like...
There was...
That's funny, because
They showed a nice bondage picture of the third Espada, but...
Yeah, the one with the tits.
Whatever her name was. Yeah, the one with the tits.
Yeah. I was going to say, if I remember Nell's rebirth in the last arc she was in, it was rather fan service-y.
Well, in the manga, she kind of just came, she was like, you know, with her little kid form, she came back with huge tits, then turned back into a kid.
Yeah.
And so now she is still a kid, but she still does that thing of when she's flung toward Ichigo, like, does super speed and just, like, headbutts him right in the stomach.
Why is she still a kid? I don't get it.
Because her powers are locked away or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like the big asshole who tried to fight... I think it was Kenpachi. He fought her and then tried to turned her into a kid, like, sealed away her powers. And then when it came out the first time, it was like, oh god, Ichigo's in trouble, Hulk up, and then danger was gone. It's just like, I'm gonna turn back to a kid.
Uh-huh. See, I thought she would have come back, you know, hey, my powers are, like, better now. Couldn't Orihime fix that? In fact, couldn't she fucking fix everything? That really annoyed me at the end of the Aizen arc, where it's like, oh, there's so many people dead. Sad face. You brought that one stupid Arrancar bitch back from the dead. Sad face. No, go revive these people. You can bring them back to life. Sad face. God damn it.
Yeah, this is why people need us in there, like... Like, oh, so many people sad face. Like, you know you can save all them, right? Just saying. No? Okay.
I'm sure there's some little intricacy that it doesn't exactly work like that, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yep, her entire power, like, her power is, like, time cancellation or something.
Yeah,
like, she cancels out events in time. She cancels out events with anything that's inside her field, just, like, she cancels it out.
Yeah, like it never happened.
Yeah, so wouldn't it make sense she'd be able to bring the dead back to life?
And she's done it before.
Yeah. When Chad got fucked, right?
And when that Arrancar got literally torn in half.
Oh yeah, right, her. And then when, yeah. Yeah, goddammit, Orihime, you suck.
Well, what did her powers are... Her powers are strongly tied to her emotions, so maybe she needs a certain amount of bond with the person, so she can't go resurrecting complete strangers or something.
She resurrected the Arrancar lady.
Back an enemy who hated her. She could have brought back Gin.
Yeah.
But that's Orihime. Orihime likes the strangest people for no reason.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's Bleach. One Piece, it's, they're running. So yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's kind of they're in the midpoint of the arc where nothing really that interesting is happening except, Frankie the robot, Chopper the reindeer, Nami the chick who always wears a bikini top, and Sanji the perverted cook have all switched bodies.
Okay, well.
Sounds like a party.
Here's why I don't read One Piece, is because for like 2 months now you've been saying, yeah, they're kind of in that midpoint of the arc where nothing really happens. I'm like, how long does this go?
Like, stuff is happening, it's just the same stuff that happened in the previous issue. Like right now, they're fighting this one guy, like Trafalgar Law, who like created this huge, his like power is like create this dome thing where he controls all laws of physics. So we've just like been, we've just been fucking up the Marines, just like throwing them all over the place, doing fucking God knows what to them. They switch all these guys around, and then a bunch of pirates were trying to shoot out, like trying to kill Luffy, Zoro, Robin, and Usopp while they were riding around the giant banana skin.
All right. Well, anyways, even from what I've watched and read of One Piece, it drags stuff out.
Yes, it does, but it's kind of, so does a lot of anime.
I'm sorry, how does controlling the laws of physics allow you to switch people's bodies around?
I don't know, it's just like he creates this huge bubble thing that, like, lets him control everything inside it.
Are they trying to teach young Japanese children relativity?
Maybe. Yeah, like, the thing that happens is, like, he just kind of, like, flicks his finger at them, then all their hearts, like do, like, the whole, like, cartoon thing of, like, bursting out of their chests, and then they all start talking like someone they aren't. Like, Nami's just running around, running, it's like, we gotta get these kids out of here, did I drop my cigarette? And then Chopper's running around like it's gonna be super, and then doing like this weird Frankie thing where he puts two star tattoos on his arms together.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird. Why would a robot have tattoos?
Shits and giggles.
And he's a really weird robot because he runs on cola.
Don't they all?
I don't know. But yeah, One Piece, it's a thing.
Oh. Things are fun.
So, moving on to what we've been reading and watching. I have not gone first ever, so I'm going first, because fuck you guys.
Okay.
So, first up, I have been watching and read a bit of Another.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, this is a...
How'd that go?
It was awesome. So, Another, I'm pretty sure it's taking place in, like, 1998, but the entire story thing starts 26 years prior, and I think it was, 72. Yeah, so there's this class. It's the third class of the third year at Yomiyama North Junior High, and there's this class like just hanging out being regular class. But then one day, one of the kids dies. His name's Misaki, and then so then he dies in some horrible fire, and then everyone like, oh my god, I can't believe he's dead. And then this one kid says, "What are you talking about? He's not dead. He's sitting right there," and points at an empty desk. And then everyone starts pretending like he's still alive. Like even the teacher is going in on it. Like he feels sorry for the kids because like, oh my god, they can't process death. I might as well just play along with it because yeah, that's healthy.
Yeah, because that's a healthy way to go through life.
Yeah, so they go through the entire year like this, pretending this kid's alive. And then at the very end of the year, when they take the graduation photo, they see Misaki in the photo, even though he's dead.
Huh?
Yeah. So fast forward to 1998. Where this kid, Sakaki Barakuichi, he transfers to Yomiyami North. And when he gets there, he meets this girl named Misaki, who wears an eye patch over one eye. And when he gets to, and she is in his class, and no one think, and like everyone acts like she doesn't exist. Because there's this whole thing that's been going on. This is kind of getting into like later episode stuff, and I'm gonna talk about it because it's been out for a while now. So apparently ever since that class pretended that Misaki was alive and then he came back to life for a second, every year one person from some previous year would come back to life as a student in that class. And then the kids had to pretend that one of the kids in the class didn't exist, or else everyone started dying. It's the weirdest fucking thing. Like, in this thing, like, it is someone since, like, the entire show is also, like, every problem that arises revolves around, like, stems from no one telling Koichi what's going on. Like, Koichi goes to the class and starts talking to Misaki, and then no one says, hey, by the way, she doesn't exist because this whole super rule thing, so you might as well not talk to her. But then he's talking to her, and then he pretends like he doesn't exist, but everything still happens. Like, this one girl, she, like, runs out, she, like, runs down a flight of stairs and impales herself on an umbrella. Which was awesome. And this one death, it is a fucking fantastic death. Where Sakakibata and his two friends are just walking home one day, and then he wants to And then he starts asking, like, all these questions, like, what's happening? Does this girl actually exist? Because at this point, no. Because at this point, he's not really sure whether she's real or not. And so the kid just starts saying, Misaki is, and then just all of a sudden grabs his chest and has a heart attack right in front of him. And I have, like, when the camera pulled out in such a way where I have expected, like, a hand, where I have expected, like, the Death Note to drop down the bridge. Like, the art style and, like, that framing of the shot, it just I was just like, come on, when's it called? I was like, gonna show, when I can show, when I can show. But they just cut away, it's like, aww.
That's all the curse really is the kid who apparently died is really just sitting outside the classroom with a Death Note. Impales yourself on an umbrella, that'll be funny.
Yeah, like, they have so many weird deaths. Like, there's this one kid in the most recent episode. What happened was, like, at home, he fell down, like, bashed his head, and then he ran off because they were going to go meet someone to talk about how to lift the curse. And then he goes out to try to, like, get their beach ball that went into the ocean, and then while he's swinging out there to get it, he dies, then he's hit by a boat. It's the funniest fucking thing. And there's some weird shit, like, this lady, she's on an elevator, then all of a sudden, like, the cables collapse, and she just, like, falls to her death, and then this teacher, who is, like, in the most fantastic way possible, he starts stabbing himself in the neck in front of his class.
Does he do it with a large grin on his face?
A huge grin? No, he's just, like, it's almost like he's crying. He just, like, shoves it in there, and then he just, like, and then shoves it in further, and then everyone is, like, freaking the fuck out. Understandably so, too. And it was really good. And one thing that I noticed, the anime and the manga are very different, because one, the manga is horribly translated. And that's kind of why I stopped reading it, because it's kind of hard to follow a story where you're not really entirely, we're not entirely sure what's going on at any given point when everything's horribly translated.
Yeah, there have been a couple mangas that I've run into that otherwise I would have really enjoyed. It was like, and then there are way too many how do I shot web moments.
Yeah. And so, like, in the manga, everything's a lot more sinister. Like, anytime anyone's talking to Koichi about, like, what's happening, like, all the different rules they're having with Class 3, they always have, like, that really dark shadow over their top face, like, the top of the half of their face, and, like, with the glasses, they have, like, the black over there, then just, like, the big white from the glasses. And so everything's a lot more sinister, like, they're intentionally keeping stuff from them in order to make all this shit happen. But meanwhile, in the anime, everyone, like, wants to tell him something, but they just can't, because either A, someone rushes in and says something that just completely, or B, they are just really uncomfortable with it. Like, if everyone would just, like, be man the fuck up, this entire unfortunate series of events could have been avoided. But yeah, the another is really great. It's, I saw somewhere that, like, someone compared it to Higurashi, like, the One Day Cry series, and I can kind of see that, like, there's a similarity in the art and with, like, some level of violence, but this is a lot more contained. Like, it's like, I'm gonna beat these two kids to death with a baseball bat and claw my own throat, or I'm gonna put you in this ancient torture device that lets me drive nails in between the joints on your fingers. This one is just, oh no, I fell down some stairs and dead, and then we're gonna have, like, three or four episodes of, like, really creepy, unsettling shit happening. So yeah, it is really good.
So, yeah, by the initial descriptions when I was looking at it, I didn't really think it would be, like, then again, it was a pretty terrible description. It's like, so-and-so, I'm not going to name the names because I can't remember them with crap, but it's like, you know, at so-and-so's school in class 3, this student died, but then everybody pretended he was still alive. Jump to 30 years later, and this person comes in, transfers into the school, and he runs into a student with the same name.
Yeah, they don't make...
What's gonna happen? And she wears an eye patch.
Yeah,
that was the description, basically.
Yeah, the show is a lot better than this description. Like, They never for one second, like, hint at, like, oh, maybe this Misaki is the same as the Misaki who died 26 years ago. Like, they do make, like, you kind of, like, get, like, hint at the fact that maybe she actually is dead. Maybe she doesn't actually exist. Maybe it's all on, like, the main character's head. But then eventually they just kind of sort all that shit out. And then they start moving on to different things to, like, maybe this is all in his head. Maybe this isn't happening. And there are actually some really great main character. They are really great. They're really creepy, kind of unsettling. And I recommend the series, okay? Let's just leave it at that. Okay, moving on. I watched some Manyu Hikencho.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that show is very porny.
Really?
Yeah.
But the, like, main story device is literally boobs.
Yeah, I know, but what I was expecting when I went into the series, like the way you guys, like the way you described it, I was expecting to go in there and, like, literally everything was just sex, you know, like they, you know, like when they fought, it's like whoever loses has like orgasms until the death or something.
No, that's Queen's Blade.
Yeah, I know. But like with this, if you just like take out like the 2 seconds, like the 2 or 3 minutes in like per episode of like the porn stuff, and then replace the word breast with like spiritual energy or something, it kind of just turns into a era Japan samurai story. You know, like there's this clan who uses assassins and special techniques to promote growth of spiritual energies inside women, and then they like have huge sway over the entire world. But then like the head of that organization brings in an outsider and tries to teach her the way of the spiritual energy powers. And then it turns out she has a special ability to take other people's spiritual energy. You know, that kind of stuff, if you like I said, just replace the word breast with almost anything, and the show just does become kind of a somewhat magic, somewhat mystical samurai series.
Uh-huh.
And the animation is also really good. And it is bizarrely funny. You know, like a lot of one of the running jokes is like every episode, like between every episode, the two main characters lose every cent they have, so they're just kind of like walking around and then like, oh god, and they use the main character's huge tits to get more money, because yeah,
oh,
like,
yeah,
like they go to like maid cafes and stuff, and they go like try to go down. There's one bit, I see a couple of funny jokes where like the main character, since her tits are so huge, she can't really do some stuff, and then her, like, sidekick, who lost her tits, is, like, constantly hating on her and, like, attacking her, like, punching her, like, doing, like, the kind of, like, cute character, like, hating stuff of, like, oh, you're a little chibi dude on her head, and it's, like, biting her with, like, huge demon teeth. Just saying, like, I'll be, like, I'll stop complaining about your huge breasts, what I would kill to have your boobs again. Yeah. It's a bizarre series.
Yeah, I figured it would be.
Bad. And if you don't have a problem with weird porny stuff... Oh, also, if you're going to watch this, download it or get it on some kind of disc. I tried to watch streaming, and like I made it through like the first 5 minutes of the first episode, and literally half the screen for the entire time was just a big white bar. Just censoring out all the tits. And a show that centers around tits. That's a lot of censoring. Actually, just some of the techniques, like, there's one technique I want to talk about. It's called the breast illusion. So there's this one girl who has, like, huge tits. She's, like, a Manyu assassin. And so her technique is she spasms her boobs out, so, like, flying all over the place. And then that causes the person to hallucinate. Like, oh my god, the tits are so awesome. They just kind of, like, get really drugged out and, like, doped up, and then she just goes over and cuts them. That was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're not opposed to sex in your anime, it's not a bad one. So, yeah, there's that.
All right. Anything else?
Final piece. Witch Hunter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so this has been, like... This series has not been updated in, like, a year, I think. But they just released... 9 chapters in a row, so it's fucking awesome. And they finally finished a fucking fight. Like, over the past 2 volumes, it has only been 1 fight.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a fight between triplets. So you have
like that. 2 sets of triplets, or
no, like 3, like 1
main
set of
character against triplets.
No, like a main side character against his 2 twin brothers.
Ah.
One of whom went insane and was possessed by his father. Because yeah. But yes, they have finally finished the fight and they are back onto the main storyline of Merlin, who is some kind of transvestite, trying to take away Halloween, who is the former pumpkin puppet, now small, sexy girl, from the main character. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I read that for a bit, and then it just kind of went disappeared. Whether I finished, whether I caught up and it wasn't updating, or I just lost interest randomly, which happens a lot of the time.
Yeah, like, I kind of lost faith in the series for a bit, because, like I said, it hadn't been updated in, like, a year. But then when I, like on Baka Updates manga, I had it on my reading list, I was looking down, and all of a sudden, there's a little page that marks something, like, reading list that said Witch Hunter. I was like, oh, dear God, yes! Yes, Witch Hunter is back, and I hope it continues to be back, because it's fucking awesome. And the main character is probably going to declare war on Britain with his magical guns.
Because why not?
Yeah, because why not, you know?
Because Britain deserves it.
Yeah, fucking Britain. They made Merlin a transvestite. Actually, I'm not sure if he's a transvestite. He might be. He might just a very, very, very effeminate dude. Or he might actually have turned into a woman. I'm not entirely sure. Because the whole conceit in this series is women are like, some women, the witches, are like given like, are born with mana. And, you know, they have their hats, which they use to unlock their mana. And men are supposedly not able to contain any mana within their bodies whatsoever. Merlin figured out how to do it by essentially turning himself into a woman, but Tasha has like 10 times the amount of mana that Merlin has and no way of accessing it. So Merlin's doing this whole bit of like, just give up Halloween and I'll teach you how to do all this shit. And since he is the main character, you can pretty much tell where this is going to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Witch Hunter, it's back and it's awesome.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. I was going to watch some High School of the Dead to talk about this episode, but I never got around to it.
Yeah, that's also relatively porny.
Yeah, but like they don't actually show you the tits.
I guess.
Like in Manyu Kencho, it's like every episode just tits, bare tits hanging out. And occasionally someone gets fingered. But in like High School of the Dead, it's like, hey, they have tits. Look at them through their clothes and then watch them as they shoot stuff. It's like, watch this chick's tits bounce as they're wrapped around a gun. And then this other one, like, there's that one really stupid episode where, like, the kid fires a bullet and then, like, goes through and, like, this girl's tits, like, warp around the bullet.
Yeah. That clip's used fairly often in things.
The animation in that episode's weird. And that series is weird. But, meh. So, Pudge, what have you been watching or reading?
All right. So, well, I just realized I hadn't really talked about it. I haven't watched it recently, but I think there's a DVD release that prompted me to write this down, but 11 Eyes, if you've heard of it.
I have not.
So basically the setup is that 5 years before the start of the show, Kakeru Satsuki's older sister committed suicide. It's kind of a cold open. But ever since his right eye has become gold in color, so he wears an eye patch to sort of cover it up and, you know, it doesn't have any apparent powers or anything weird other than it's a weird color. Oh, God. Let's not draw attention to it. So he covers it up with an eye patch.
Like, you have an awesome eye. Keep it away from me.
Yeah, but basically his only friends are his class, or his two classmates, Kaori and Tadashi, I think. I think I forgot the I on this, but anyway. I wrote Tadash, and that just looked weird.
Yeah. It's like, yo, what up, I'm Tadash.
I'm sure there's an I on there, so Tadashi, yeah. And along with
Tadash.
His childhood friend, Yuka. But basically, other than that, he's pretty much dead inside. Like, it is a serious, like, he cares about nothing. Like, he is a ruined husk of a person.
Well, this sounds like this sounds like a really uplifting anime.
Oh, it is. It is. It's thrilling.
I can't help but sarcasm.
But basically, one day he's walking back home with Yuka, and the sky turns red, and suddenly the sun is replaced by the moon, except the moon is black. And these sort of eldritch abominations are wandering the streets, basically set on killing any human that wanders into their nether realm, which at this point is... Well, Kakeru and Yuka. And...
Wait, so two people are in the Nether Realm?
Yeah, it's... You know, it's sort of a mirror. It's the exact same as normal. As the normal world, except, you know, sky's red and there aren't any other people in it. And there's a black moon. But... And, you know, and it just kind of goes from there. I can't really go too much further without revealing... a whole bunch of stuff about what's going on. So, but basically, it's not a permanent situation, I'll say. So, it is kind of they just kind of randomly jump back in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they ever figure out what really causes the switchover, but basically, it's them figuring out what the hell is going on with this switch over to another dimension kind of thing, and the shit that happens to them along the way. It's very well done. I'm really not doing it justice with this, but it does get very dark in some points, and there's a particularly interesting scene about. That touches on one of the major issues of immortality, especially when it comes to certain tortures.
That sounds fun.
Oh yeah, it gets very, very bloody and dark, and there's sort of a giant conspiracy kind of thing going on to jump from their dimension over into ours, and so it's very good. It came out probably a few years ago now, but I haven't watched it in a while. I really should actually. I should go and rewatch it. It's very good. It's dark, but it's not hopeless, which is one of the bigger problems I have with a lot of the darker themed stuff. Is that it? Like, Higurashi, my mind, has that sort of hopeless, depressing feeling hanging over it.
For me, the show's always been more, like, schizophrenic. Like, it always jumps between, like, the really dark, sinister, like, horribleness of the aforementioned baseball beating and throat ripping. But then, like, it's, like, it has that, and another good chunk of it is, like, kind of, like, really light slice of life kind of stuff going on in it.
Yeah, but you get my point, though. Like, the hopeless kind of...
Oh yeah, everyone in that show was fucked.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't so much have that. It touches on some very dark things, but it's not like, oh, I can tell right from the get-go everybody's going to die. Like, there are some shows I just watch, and it's like, oh, well, I can tell you how this plays out.
He's going to die, except for... Oh, look, it's... old. He's gonna live.
And be tortured about it for the rest of his life. But enough about that.
Yeah, enough depression.
On to an overly cheery manga called Amanchu.
Never heard of it.
A-M-A-N-C-H-U exclamation mark. And so it throws you right in with Hikari, who is an overly energetic high school girl who spends a large portion of her free time diving. It's her hobby, like scuba diving. She lives out the ocean.
Okay.
And on her first day, she's a brand new high school student, I should say, I guess. But because on her first day, she runs into her teacher, who is also really into diving. So they kind of hit it off, and turns out that teacher is their homeroom teacher.
Well, what do you know?
And she also runs into a shy girl, a really pretty shy girl, Futaba Uki, who gets basically swept up into the maelstrom that is Hikari. And her just insane energy that... It basically... The manga is basically detailing their adventures in their brand new high school's diving club. Hooray! And... But of a special note is the art that they use in this manga. It looks, it's fairly standard a lot of the time. But they go into the sort of super deformed things a lot, though. Mm. Like, I'm trying to, Hikari especially is really, really creepy looking.
Like, how so?
I'll actually see if I can find a picture of it, but I'll try and describe it. Basically, it's kind of like one of the really creepy doll things. Like the circular eyes and the big half-circle mouths.
Those things.
Like, ha ha ha! I could probably just open up any random page in this and find it.
Yeah, it's creepy doll.
Yeah. But it is something that needs to be seen to believed how weird this is. Of course, I picked like the one manga that doesn't have it, but
we'll look into it later.
Well, essentially, and unfortunately our listeners won't be able to see this, but
it's on that page
and she's the one with her head kind of half poking out of the water in that picture. On that page, throughout the whole thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine, like, the full circular face and the half circle mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's really creepy. Oh, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You haven't said anything.
But basically, it's just a really well written thing. There are some very, very mild, possibly. They could end up being more than just friends kind of thing between Futaba and Hikari, but it's a very minor thing. I haven't really noticed anything major, except they are particularly close friends.
Hmm.
There's nothing unsavory, as it were, going on.
It's probably not going to lead to anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that... it didn't strike me as that kind of thing.
Yeah, plus...
That kind of series.
Plus it's a shonen series. They never lead to anything anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. So it is a really good series so far. It's relatively short as of this date, but it is continuing,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I think the author did something before. The author of Aria.
Okay.
It's just sort of a big sort of visual novel type anime kind of thing. It's big in those circles. It's one of the hallmarks of that genre. But enough about that.
Yes.
To Tokyo Ravens, one I've actually found really recently. Like, a couple days ago recently. So, it takes place approximately... Well, actually, I have no idea how far into the future. It's a very short jump into the future. And magic is basically sort of a thing now. Accepted as real because of some...
Because of science.
Because of some undisclosed event that revealed it to the world. With, you know, a fight against demons or something or other.
That's what the 22 Apocalypse is. It's the revelation.
Like that, maybe.
It's the revelation of magic.
Probably, yeah.
Yay, magic.
Yeah. I'm a tap three. Yeah, I'm a tap three mad and summon a fire. Summon a fire demon.
Yeah. So, and naturally, the magic users gain a certain amount of social status now. So, it follows Haruchara Tsuchimi Gedo, who was born into a prestigious Onmyoji family. And I suppose I should mention that the magic is sort of Buddhist monk-based. So, like, sutras are sort of the chants and are sort of the spells and stuff, and the talismans and spirits and that kind of jazz. He's born into a prestigious Onmyoji family, the Tsuchimi Gedo clan, but he, in particular, doesn't have any spirit sight, which isn't that rare in this day and age. But it just means he can't really be a successful mage whatsoever because, you know, you need to be able to see spirits to be able to do magic, to be able to talk to them and whatever and whatnot. So he basically enjoys his relaxing life in sort of his branch school until a childhood friend, Natsume, in other words, the next head of the Tsuchimi Gedo head family, shows up to enlist his help as her Shikigami, which is basically an indentured servant, somewhat. And basically hilarity ensues.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, there are some, you know, there's his other high school friend who obviously knows more than he's letting on, and who hasn't really revealed a whole lot yet, but he knows, he definitely, you know, he's a lot like Gin in that way,
mm-hmm.
as in Gin Ichimaru from Bleach, in that, like, he just acts like he knows something that you don't all the time.
Yeah.
And it adds an interesting dynamic to it, and there's a whole thing about Natsume possibly being the reincarnation of this big super, basically the founder of Tsuchimi Gedo clan, and who is a big, super powerful wizard, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether they're the reincarnations of that guy's two servants, his friend and him, and it's very interesting, it's very well written, it's a breath of fresh air and from a lot of the normal stuff you see around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and there are some interesting relationship dynamics, like between certain, like the spirits and the humans, how they get along, and like in one major fight, like there's a major spirit summoned who promptly just ignores everything the summoner says. You know, didn't have enough gym badges and whatnot.
Wow.
Giant dragon sat around picking his nose. Basically, that's what it is, but, you know, it's a very good, very well done anime. I enjoy it so far. Hopefully it doesn't go all to hell, which would be unfortunate, but I don't see that really happening. It's been doing very well so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, he eventually moves from the small town into Tokyo where he goes to a major sort of major training school for the Onmyoji training and whatnot, and Natsume has a major, there's this weird rule with the family, the next head always has to present themselves as a boy when they're dealing with other families, basically in public. So there's this weird thing where Natsume does the whole cross-dressing thing, and it's like, she just acts like a boy around. It's just, it's an interesting thing. There's probably going to be some stuff coming up once the inevitable romance between the main character and Natsume develops. You know, rumors going around about homosexuality and whatnot. And it'll be hilarious then.
Okay. Anything else?
And actually, speaking of homosexuality.
Oh, God. That's not a way to introduce a series.
But this is hilarious, the way they do it in this one, actually. I actually found this almost literally half an hour before we started, and I was immediately hooked. It's a manhwa. So, you know, Korean. Woo.
Awesome.
So, it's called Exo Sisters, which I'm not sure if that's a reference to the English idiom of sort of hugs and kisses, or something that I'm completely missing from the Far East, but I have a feeling it's something from the Far East, because there's nothing remotely relating to affection happening in this manga. basically, our main character, the badass delinquent Jo Chul-hee, is aiming to become the boss of his new high school that he's transferring into as part of an agreement with his foster father, because he wanted to leave home from this temple that his foster father was at and where he grew up. And part of the deal was, once he could beat his foster father in a fight, he could leave. So he sort of went into delinquency to train to beat him in a fight, and then his foster father went, okay, fine, I'll let you go. You don't even have to beat me in the fight or anything, because, you know, multiple attempts, and he got his ass handed to him every single time. But on one condition, you know, you need to find your own place to live and everything, but you go to the school I pick, and you need to stay at that school, not run away, because if you do, I will find you, was basically what he said. So, basically, it's a fairly standard setup, and, you know, you could tell funny things are about to happen, except the school that his father put him into is an all-girls school, and I think Bovi gets where this is going.
Yeah,
and the reason it was allowed is because his foster father told them that he was gay.
Oh, God.
And so...
hilarity ensues.
Basically. there is a curveball it throws you after a few chapters of relatively normal stuff going on. But,
well, as normal as a fake gay kid in an all-girls school can be.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, there's a bit of a twist a few chapters in.
What a twist!
But, which I'm not going to spoil, because then you wouldn't have to read it, and you should read it, because it's hilarious. It is probably the funniest piece of literature I've read in a long time. Like, it is just so well written, and it looks amazing, and they just... I'm, like, on the fourth chapter right now. Like, halfway through, and they're big, long chapters, too, so, like, the fourth chapter is 51 pages long.
Damn, son.
So, you get a lot of material in each chapter. I think it's... I'm not even sure which... It's only six chapters so far, but still. It is something you should check out. Everybody should check out. It's just... It doesn't matter if you're into that kind of thing or not, but it's hilarious. And naturally, there's one girl who can kick his ass. And you know, he manages to find her on, like, the first day.
Of course.
Which is part of the kickoff for the main story. But okay. That is essentially what I have. I haven't been categorizing most of the manga I have been reading recently. There's been a lot of crap recently, actually. Mm. But that's about it I have for this podcast.
Okay, cool. So, Bobby, what have you been reading?
All right. Watching? Well, recently I've just been watching My Usuals.
Okay.
But I have a good deal to say about all those, which is, I guess, good.
Okay.
Over the next couple weeks, I'll try and get some new series under my belt. I'll browse.
I'm gonna be running an idea by you guys after we're done here, which may change the format of this very podcast.
Ooh.
So, stay tuned.
My usual series, Bleach, number one. Something big has happened here. Ichigo has unleashed his Bankai.
Oh, again.
Well, that happened in the manga, and then now it's happened in the anime.
Wait, so in the anime he just got his Bankai?
No, he just got his new Bankai.
Ah, the new one. The one with the curved sword.
Yes. The one that's so awesome it blows up the pocket universe just by him activating it.
Yes. The one that looks like the evil Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts.
Which actually has me thinking. I think I know why the Captain Commander never uses his Bankai. It's because his is as powerful as Ichigo's.
If not more so.
Yeah, and it's just, it's...
His Shikai is probably as powerful as Ichigo's Bankai.
Yeah, so if he went Bankai, he'd probably destroy the entirety of the Sarate.
It's just irresponsible to use a Bankai that powerful, but Ichigo does it anyways.
Yeah. Why not, dude? You know, you got these assholes. You got these assholes, you got this power, why not? You know, overkill is underrated.
And so I guess... The main thing I'm liking about watching the anime is I get to see the stuff again and be reminded of it. And this is a great scene, because Riku is standing there, well, maybe with the power of all these captains, we could break into the pocket dimension, then just BAM! Ichigo's standing there, I broke it with my awesome.
Broke it with my sweet face tats.
So yeah, that was that, and then Ginjo also did his Bankai.
Ginjo. I forget who he is.
He's the bad guy of that
He's
arc.
He's the bad guy.
Sorry.
That arc.
Like I said, my memory is bad. For some reason, I thought he was the guy who rode around the pig.
Well, he's not a very memorable bad guy, because knowing how that fight goes, it's just... Mm. It's kind of a big build-up, bit of a letdown, but it really shows off Ichigo's new awesome powers.
Yeah. I remember more about Tsukishima than I do about Ginjo.
Well, yeah, because he was the focus for so long.
Yeah, he was fucking awesome.
And once again, there was the revelation that the only person who will never betray Ichigo is Byakuya. Yeah, Ichigo now gets free guilt trips against Orihime. You betrayed me, Byakuya didn't. What the hell? Fucking Byakuya.
Yeah, it's like, this guy's an asshole and he betrayed me. What about you, bitch?
He's an asshole. The first time we met, we tried to kill each other.
Yeah, the first time we met, he took away my powers.
And he's the one who didn't betray me. And what the hell, Chad?
Yeah. Like, come on, dude. I thought we were friends.
So yeah, that's where the anime is right now, so it's getting to a good point. This arc has actually not been... drawn out very much. The fights like, there were several fights ending per episode when there were all those fights going on with the captains and the Fullbringers. Mm. So, yeah, it was actually good.
Most of those fights were, like, maybe 2 pages in the manga.
Yeah.
Because the captains completely curb-stomped them.
Even some of the longer ones, like Hitsugaya's and Byakuya's, was, like, one episode, half an episode, maybe.
Mm. But, yeah, but some of them were, like, it was over in a second, like, Kenpachi's fight, it was like, rah, done.
Yeah, that one was over in a second. Now, there is one thing that has been kind of annoying me with the anime. Is, you know, in the Ginjo Ichigo fight, how Ichigo kind of just doesn't give a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, sends attacks, says shit, whatever, he doesn't care?
Yeah.
In the anime, they keep throwing in what would be between the frames, all these reaction shots of Ichigo where he looks, like, mortified or scared. It's like, no! That's not the point! He's not supposed to give a fuck.
What the fuck, dude? This is why I don't watch the anime.
Like, mostly this arc's been good for the anime. There's been a couple of really annoying things, but mostly it's been good.
Well, yeah, just prepare to strap yourself in for a lengthy filler arc.
Yep, just strap
after
on.
It.
Yeah.
Strap it on for some bullshit with that other captain.
Oh god, the last filler arc was so bad too. And it dragged on, and by the end I'm like, I've missed episodes, I don't care. I don't know what's going on, I don't care.
It's like, I don't give a fuck, just get back to the stuff I care about. Good lord. Yeah, that's right when I stopped watching anime, like, as soon as they introduced, hey, so we got this new captain, done. God, I fucking hate that guy so much.
Well, he was the villain in that arc. You were supposed to not like him.
Yeah, but I don't like him. I don't like him for...
You don't like his existence.
Yes. I don't like him, but for different reasons. You know, there have been villains that I've loved. Like, there have been some awesome villains that I've really dug. But this guy, I didn't care if he was a villain. I didn't care if he was a good guy. He could have been fucking Jesus Christ. And I'd have been like, yeah, I hate you so much.
Because that carries weight coming from you, because you're such a religious person.
Right.
So,
He could be something. I'm trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of something that I like.
Anyways.
He could be Batman, and I still say fuck you.
Anyways, moving on to an anime that is really good for not having really shitty fillers.
Is that Batman?
Fairy Tail.
Does Fairy Tail have Batman?
No, it does not have Batman.
Then I am not interested. I would actually kind of like to see Japan's take on Batman.
Sure, well, they've done everything else.
Yeah, I mean, they fucking did Wolverine, for Christ's sake.
Yep, they had an Iron Man one.
Yep, they had regular X-Men where Beast had, like, face tumors.
Anyways, yep. So Fairy Tail.
Yeah, Fairy Tail.
Fairy Tail has reached the end of an arc. The Tenro Island arc. So basically, Arcnaldia showed up and killed everyone.
Or did it?
I'm guessing they're not dead. It's just like, boom, island's blown up. 7 years later, depressing.
Have you been reading the manga? Have you been reading the manga at all?
Nope.
Then you should read the manga because we are way ahead of that.
Yeah, I know. Well, with certain series, I really like to watch the anime instead. Fairy Tail's one of them.
Yeah, understandable.
I think I'll always prefer the anime. It's not something that I think will feel right to me in black and white ever. Bleach, I'll read the manga. Naruto, eventually I'll get to it. But Fairy Tail, I'm probably going to stick with just the anime.
Okay.
But I must say, depressing episode. I'm like,
if it was a little bit depressing, it's like, well, that was a bit of a downer.
They even made it look like they were, you know, kind of going to work. Put all of our focus into a defensive spell, we'll all hold hands, and it's playing the inspirational music, and then boom!
It's like, they're gonna make it.
It's like, what the fuck? The biggest mistake I think they made when they were fighting that dragon is that Laxus and Gazeel didn't attack together. Because what is a better combo attack than metal and lightning?
Fire and lightning.
Well, maybe fire and metal and lightning. That'd be fucking good. That'd be like, hot metal conducts electricity.
You have electrified burning bullets.
Exactly.
No, it wouldn't. Heat, I may be, it may be the complete opposite, but I think heat increases resistance to electricity.
No. Resistance to electricity causes heat.
Hmm.
That's how that
but
works.
The equation can be changed around.
No, the science, energy would still transfer. It's just there's more energy in the in-between stages. It would still work.
Science, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been 2 years since I was dealing with that stuff in class, so I'm not entirely sure.
I have not dealt with heated metal conducting electricity in class ever.
I should ask Ninja Kitty. She would know, but she's not in the room.
Well, fuck her. It's like a fairy tale.
So yeah, that's fairy tale right now, and we're about to start a new arc. That'll be good. There's a kid. I can't remember whose kid he is. That dude
Romeo,
with the blue hair.
I think it's either kid's name or his dad's name is Romeo.
I don't know.
I think the kid's Romeo.
I don't know, and he's like dressed up pretty much like Natsu now. Seems like he's a mage at this point.
Believe me, it is not going where you think it's going.
Really?
Really. Dude, we've talked about this.
I don't know where I think it's going. And I erased that. It's what I do. I erase spoilers. So anyways, I've also been watching Naruto, and Kabuto attacked and kidnapped Yabuto, and we've had our first glimpse at Madara with the Rinnegan in one eye and the Sharingan in the other.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, the series you guys wouldn't know so much about. Muretsu Pirates had its first real space battle.
Bodacious Space Pirates.
Yes, Bodacious Space Pirates had its first real space battle. Basically, they found the Golden Ghost ship that they were looking for, and then the fleet of Serenity ships showed up and attacked
them. Was Malrels on any of them?
Malrels was not on any.
Then I am not interested. If there are not, like, a fleet of Washes piloting those ships, it's not just, like, an entire fleet of Alan Tudyks.
I was just thinking of, like, every single one of the bridges just being littered with toy dinosaurs.
Yeah. That's what you're using for bullets. Like, they don't even, like, for weapons, they just, like, proton-powered,
launch the T-Rexes!
Launch the Stegosaurus. Not the Stegosaurus.
So, yeah, anyways, there was a space battle. Then they hid inside the golden ship, which then took them to another dimension, I think. I'm not exactly sure how that's going. Yeah, they're going to open up the door. It'll be just a giant Rod Serling.
Yeah. It's like, imagine if you will, a giant Rod Serling.
Imagine, if you will, a giant space door.
Yes. Imagine, if you will, some bodacious space pirates. So yeah, bodacious space pirates.
That's where it's going. Anonatsu.
The Twilight Zone.
Anonatsu, there's a relationship between the main character and Ichika, and now other aliens are coming to take her home. She has to leave Earth unless they can find the spot she's been looking for, and therefore prove that there has already been alien contact with humans, thus making it a non-Class F planet, thus making her able to stay. Yes, they are going to change human history to save a relationship between two teenagers.
Well, they're not going to change it. They're just going to bring the contact to light.
The moment they bring that contact to light, then aliens will start interacting with Earthlings. Sorry, they will not change history, they will change the future.
Exactly.
Drastically. To save a relationship between two teenagers.
They will forever alter the course of human history.
Anyways.
Because these two kids want a bone.
Still my favorite character of the entire series, Remon, is still being a shit disturber and exceptionally creepy. Like, as soon as she finds out that Kaito and Ichika are in a relationship, she's like, Kaito, I want to give you something. Just hands him a condom.
I want to give you something. Yeah. Just hands him a fetus.
And he, like, immediately hides it, and Ichika's like, what? What was that? He's like, nothing. It was nothing.
I just gave your boyfriend the used condom. I just gave the boyfriend the condom he used last night. He was really good.
And of course, she has filmed absolutely everything that's going on. So as they're escaping the drones, there's this great part where they're driving in this van, and they're escaping these alien drones that are trying to take Ichika back to her planet. And she just Remon just pushes a button. By the way, she looks like she's 10 and she's driving.
She says she's 17.
She's actually the oldest one there.
Yeah. And it's like one of the characters' sisters knows her.
Yeah.
And there's actually a point in time where she goes, where they meet up just kind of by chance, and it's like, oh, what's up? You're still in high school? Which implies to me that
she's older than 17.
You know, she is not a high school student.
She's like 21 impersonating a high school student. But impersonating
she's like 47.
Impersonating a high school senior when she looks like a junior. Well, she looks like she's in junior high, really.
It's like the orphan. I'm just like a middle-aged midget pretending to be younger so you can seduce her. She can seduce her adoptive mom's something.
Yeah, and then she like there's this great part where she just pushes this button and a claw randomly comes out of the top of the van and attacks the drone. And it's like, what do we do now? Start filming. I want this on film. She's all about finishing this movie, but making it real, because this whole time, I think she's known absolutely everything that's going on.
Well, yeah. I have a feeling she is some way related to the first two series. But...
So anyways, yeah, that's
because they're all related.
That's where Adonatsu is right now, and it's a really entertaining series, and it's one of those ones that you can watch and, you know, not feel girly for watching a relationship anime. Then again, I was discussing.
I never feel girly watching a relationship anime. I just want it to be, you know, good.
I was actually discussing this a while ago, and I think more often guys care about the relationships than girls in anime, but guys are afraid to admit it.
Not really. Like, a lot of the series that I've, like, really liked, the endings have always sucked because they always have, like, no emotional closure whatsoever. Like, every single one, it always ends with, like with Durarara. Like,
yeah.
Ryugamine and Sword Parasite Chick. Like, the entire show, everyone's saying, like, well, if you like this girl, tell her how you feel, all this stuff. And then it gets to the point where they're alone together, and again, tell her how it feels, there's, like, nothing.
Well, that's actually what I'm talking about. Guys get more frustrated by that. Guys want to see the relationships go somewhere more than girls do.
Yeah, that's weird.
By the way, off topic. Ninja Kitty and I were arguing. I said Natsu and Lisanna. She said Natsu and Lucy.
Natsu and Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
You agree, Natsu Lucy? Okay, oh, yeah. I'm totally outnumbered.
They've already had the Natsu Lisanna thing.
Yeah, that's come and gone. She has been relegated to unlucky childhood friend.
Yep.
She's stuck in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
She got friend zoned by the salamander.
All right, so yeah, I guess that's it. That's it.
Like, as soon as Natsu started showing up at Lucy's house at random intervals, it was basically locked in stone.
Mm. Yeah, but do you think they'll actually do anything with it?
Oh, probably not. They won't do anything with any of the relationships in Fairy Tail.
Yeah, it's like, same with One Piece. Like I actually read an interview in like Jump where like the guy who writes his name escapes me. He said like, you know, this is a shonen manga. Guys don't want to see the relationships, so we're not going
to
have any.
Which is actually stupid thing to say. Guys do want to see the relationships.
Yes, I know. I want to see something happen between Luffy and Nami. I know that's going to be.
It's the same with Naruto, same with Bleach, You know, for me, same with Fairy Tail. You know, I want to see the Gagio Levy thing go somewhere. That's hilarious and awesome.
But Naruto and Bleach have done stuff.
Stuff, but it hasn't really gone anywhere. Like, Hinata, I love you, Naruto. Okay, I'm going to ignore you for about another 100 episodes. Then we'll talk.
Then the whole thing with, like, Orihime and saying, like, if I could live five lives and fall in love with the same person five times. Like, that was awesome, but they haven't done anything with it.
Well, that's more because Ichigo's completely oblivious to it than anything.
Of course he's not completely oblivious, but, like, you think everyone else around him would be like, hey, you know, Ichigo, something might be happening here. And, you know, there's also the thing with, like, Uryu liking Orihime.
Yeah. Because
I'm guessing that's something.
I'm totally one of the people who's like, Ichigo Rukia. Yeah, screw Renji. Screw him.
Fuck Renji.
He can go... He's in the friend zone.
He's part of the Uzumaki clan. He needs to die.
He's already dead.
Like, the Naruto Sakura thing.
He'll die again.
Yeah. Well, I've never been quite sure how that works. But anyway, but like with the Naruto Sakura thing, I assume you were referring to the time when she was trying to get Naruto
Hinata
to stop fighting.
I said Hinata.
Oh, Hinata. Okay. Never mind then.
They haven't had much interaction anyway. Yeah, like when she runs out, I love you, they get thrown around and stabbed.
Yeah, she literally dies for him.
They can never see each other for like...
And then he's like, okay, I'm not going to talk to you for about 100 episodes. See ya.
It's like, oh hey, it's great that you love me. I'm going to this island now. Peace.
Thanks for sacrificing yourself for me and all that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go pine after soccer and hang out with B.
Well, there isn't a whole lot of pining going on there anymore.
No,
it's internal.
He's actually kind of like where I am in the anime. He's kind of pissed at her.
Everyone's pissed at everyone.
Everyone's pissed at Sakura because she's a dumb bitch.
Yeah, she is a fucking whore. Okay, so that's going to do it. Because I have no news.
No news?
No news. I didn't bother to look any up.
Ooh, I have some news that I read recently.
Okay.
If you've been watching Nisumonogatari.
I haven't.
I assumed you were, it was more an address to the audience than
those six
you.
People.
But basically, you would have noticed that episode 11, the final episode in the season, presumably, ended with a "to be continued" label, and it recently came out that the director of both the series would, and the author of the books would actually like to eventually animate every single one of the novels. So that's something to look forward to. I'm not sure how many novels there are exactly, but it's very good. Fair.
Okay, so, cool. Yep, so there's that. And with that, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the DeathStoreProds.com anime podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the site at DeathStoreProds. I'm at Deadman_DDProds. We got at Bobiwan. And while he did not appear in this episode, we got at Darth Broby. Pudge still refuses to do Twitter.
Yep.
We're on Facebook. You can like us on there. We're on Google+. You can follow us on there. Just leave us some comments, please. Like, let us know how we're doing. Like, let us know what you want to see happen with future stuff that we're going to be doing. What do you want to see happen with us on the site? What do you like? What do you not like? Just please tell us. We can't know unless you tell us. For the love of Christ.
Yeah.
For the love of Batman.
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 I'm just going to replace Jesus with Batman now.
Yes, and Batman we trust.
Yep.
What would Batman do?
Well, yeah, what would Batman do is an actual thing.
Yeah, I know.
I have a "what would Dumbledore do" pin on my hat.
He'd delegate all responsibility to solve everything to a small boy with a scar on his head. Okay, so, yeah, be sure to come back tomorrow when myself, Bovi, Shax, and Toy Box will be talking some movies, as well as our commentary for the town extended cut will be up. And be sure to come back next Friday when Pudge will be joining us for the Gangs of New York commentary.
Woo!
So there's that. But, and hopefully, and you should come back in a couple weeks when we will hopefully be having our new format, which hopefully will make this thing a lot better. So, until then, I'm Dead.
I'm Bovilon.
And I'm Budgetron.
We'll see you next time.